Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's BudPod 170.
170. That's plenty. That's plenty episodes. Plenty of episodes.
It's plenty, if you ask me.
Well, let me close my window because there are planes.
Yes. Amazing how audible they are, even though they are up in the sky, Philip.
They're so far up. And yet I can hear them.
And yet you can hear them. I just quickly say thank you to all the podbuds who came to my previews so far in Two North Down in London and King's Cross and in Bill Murray as well. Hello, Koji. And also the podbuds who saw me in Preston. I had to take a bunch of National Express coaches on a 25-hour round trip, Phil, to do my preview.
No, no. What?
I'm cheating a bit. I guess really it's a 19-hour round trip, but yeah. That was my Saturday.
Oh, because of the train strikes?
Yeah, yeah, the streaky strikes. So I had to get up at 6 to be the guest, one of the guest people, the guest person on Frank Skinner's radio show, which is good fun.
Great.
And then that ended at 11. And then my National Express coach left Victoria coach station in London at noon and got into Manchester at about 20 past 5.
Oh, I want to be sick. I want to be sick.
5.5-hour coach, and I met up with comedian Eleanor Tiernan, who had landed there from a flight from Belfast. We rented a car from a stranger using an app, and then she very kindly drove us to Preston, where we did the gig in a sort of tent. And then we had to drive back from Preston to Manchester and then dick around for about an hour before the midnight to 6:30 a.m. coach back.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Pretty nuts.
Oh, God. I feel like I'm talking to someone who's just given birth. Were you able to sleep on the coach back, the midnight coach?
No.
Because you're too big for the seat.
Don't fit. I will say, I'm too big for the seats on National Express, but I'm much less too big than for a plane.
Okay, okay.
So better than a flight of the equivalent length, but...
Wait. So the seats on the coach are bigger than the ones on the plane, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in, like, the coach, I was ready for a scene from the apocalypse, and it was sort of okay. The issues were slightly too big for the seats, which is not great, and also loads of stops, and every time they do a stop, a very loud announcement of where they were from the driver and all the lights going on like in a prison.
Oh, fuck, of course. Ka-choom. Yeah, because they have stops, don't they?
Yeah. Milton Keynes.
Fuck me.
Yeah.
And what was the mood like on the coach? Were people happy to be there? Were people going... Was it like a prison atmosphere? Were people giving looks to each other like, what are you in for?
I think there was a different vibe. I would divide the passengers between people trying to get to London overnight for some reason because their lives are sort of hard, and people trying to get to one of the airport stops.
Oh, my God.
So there was sort of people who were like on the coach because it was for some reason the easiest way for them to get to Luton Airport at 3 a.m. or Birmingham Airport at 5 a.m. or whatever the ungodly hour the stops were. I think it was Luton and Birmingham Airports we stopped at. So they were sort of holiday makers who were sort of tired but I guess optimistic about their trips. Everyone else was sort of quite a lot of people making sort of hushed phone calls in non-European languages.
Oh, okay. Okay, one of those, yeah.
Yeah, where it's sort of like, it's 1 a.m. and they still have a phone call to make that lasts at least 10 minutes and is quite sort of like, And then it has a sort of tone of like, no, and make sure to remember to, you know. That sort of tone.
Yeah.
Where you go, oh, this is like the sort of underside of the economy or something I'm in. It's like all of us who have like weird lives due to whatever it is, our origins or our jobs, and then holidaymakers. Yeah, that's the two groups, I'd say.
And what is your day like after a 12 a.m. to 6 a.m. coach ride? Do you get in, do you go to sleep and you wake up at 2? Do you just power on through to the next night? What do you do?
My knees and my shoulders were surprisingly wrecked from trying to sleep at an angle. I got one of those neck pillow things, and I don't think I know how to work it, or it's too big or not big enough. You kind of clip it around your neck, the big squishy thing.
Yeah, I got one of those. And I sort of flip. I can't decide on whether it makes it better or worse.
Yes.
I've still not figured out whether it's been. I've had it for years, and I still can't figure out whether it makes it easier or harder to sleep.
Because like, if I've got the padding sort of under my chin and I'm like leaning forward, like I'm sleeping with my like head down, like I'm praying, then it's like the force of leaning on it clenches your jaw for you, which is not relaxing. It's just like a jaw clencher. So you're sleeping like someone who's trying to contain a spasm of rage, head down, jaw clenched.
You're sleeping like you're in a trap in Saw.
Yes. You're sleeping like someone who's being berated by a superior and you're about to flip out. Or you could sort of like, you kind of roll your head to the side, but there's no real purchase there. Doesn't really work backwards. Yeah, very hard to tell. But yeah, you're right. Get home at 7 a.m. Knees and shoulders all weird from the coach. And then, yeah, sleep till noon. Still feel mental for the rest of the day. And then I did a preview at 2 Northdown that eve.
Bloody hell, yeah. It's a preview, boy.
I'm
preview king.
The king of previews. If you want to look at something in advance, you talk to me.
Was the Preston show good?
It was quite good. It was it's difficult because it was in a tent and it was still very much daylight. So it was just like a sort of conference, really, where you could see everyone in HD.
It was like a farmer's conference.
Yeah, it was it was a nice tent, though. I will say this. It wasn't just like a tent. It was like a lot of money had been spent on it by some arts council funding or something. It was all painted on the inside, wooden boards. And it was more like the sort of thing you set up for the month at the Fringe, not just like a gazebo.
So it was like a Spiegel tent, almost.
Very much in Spiegel tent territory. Yes. So I've been doing that. And in fact, as we record now on Tuesday the 28th, I have a preview tonight at downstairs at the King's Head in Crouch End, which if you're listening to this, you've missed.
Oh, I haven't been to the King's Head for so long. It's one of my original favorite rooms.
You filmed a thing there?
The King's Head. My first ever special that I made myself, I put on the YouTube, is there, filmed at the King's Head. Is it my sophomore show?
I guess so.
My freshman show.
Freshman show.
Sophomore is the second year, isn't
it?
Yeah. My freshman outing. Yeah, and I still have it up on YouTube. I always think, should I take it down? Because I'm much better now. But I think it's quite nice to have this record of where you've been, where you've come from.
I don't think it's worth taking down. Like you say, it's not like it's so bad or so strange it's worth taking down. I think it shows legacy, shows progress.
Yuls.
How about you, man? You've been in the woods.
I've been in the woods, yes. This past week, I've been filming Outsiders for Dave in the woods, along hosted by David Mitchell, alongside Fatih Al-Ghori, Joe Wilkinson, Jessica Hines, Darren Harriet and Maisie Adam. Stupendous lineup of people, and it was a really fun show. I'll be coming out later this year on Dave, so do keep your eyes peeled for it. It's very fun. We have to complete tasks in the woods, and David Mitchell judges them and gives us badges.
Ooh.
Based on our efforts. It's a really fun time.
Do you get to keep the badges?
We may have.
Ooh.
Maybe.
Very nice.
I can't say too much at this point.
Okay.
But you know what was the best thing was, Pierre? Was we somehow managed to time a TV show where you have to spend a week in the woods on exactly the same week as Rail Strike Week.
Oh, yeah.
So I fucking smashed it. I'm sorry to hear about your coach ride, but I fucking smashed Strike Week.
Yes, you did. Oh, man. You went like a, you were like a prepper.
Yeah, yeah. I went into the woods to avoid the trappings of modern man.
Yeah.
I.e. sort of union action.
Yeah, you were like a nervous prepper spooked into the woods by the first sign of any sort of social disagreement.
But especially union-based. I'm like a nervous industry fat cat. You know, like those old cartoons of like a guy, a fat, sweating man with a black suit.
Yeah, they're in white
and
tie.
On the back is written, he's got a Punch cartoon subtitle on his back that just says, industry.
Yes.
And I'm like sweating and getting worried about the unions. And I'm so worried that I make a plan to flee into the woods whenever there's any industrial action.
Yes, yes, yes. A sort of a Victorian version of a libertarian.
I'm a capitalist Bear Grylls. I'm Cher Grylls. I'm Cher Grylls. That's who I am.
Cher's Grylls. It would be a good nickname for like a particularly adventurous investor.
Cher's Grylls.
All right, Cher's Grylls. We should sell that. We should sell banter to hedge fund managers. I imagine they're not that fun as people, so they need help.
It's true. I mean, that's what corporates are, right?
Pretty much.
It's basically managers paying for banter.
We're going to do it.
Because they just can't do it.
Yeah.
For all your wealth and all your power, you can't even muster up the smallest morsel of banter.
Well, that... Well, that's the whole thing people say about Elon Musk, isn't it? Is that he's like the richest man in the world, or close to it, or whatever. And he's still like so tangibly what he wants is to be funny.
Yeah. Yeah, and he knows that the people who find him funny on Twitter are the lamest, most boring people in the world.
Yeah, because
he must know
they are not the funny people. The funny people don't find, if the funny people don't find you funny, you know that it's, you know, it's not working. Whatever you're doing. You gotta try harder, Elon. No outsourcing.
You can't outsource your jokes. Well, I mean, you can really. You can pay for writers. I wonder if he pays for writers. Why doesn't he just pay for writers? It's a pride thing.
Yeah.
That's a fascinating thing about jokes and being funny. No matter how rich a person is, no matter how powerful they become, everyone wants to be funny. And if they can't be funny, it's absolute torture and it drives people insane. Especially men, because men tie a lot more of their self-worth to being funny than women do.
Yeah, it's rare to find...
In general.
Definitely. It's rare to find a guy, at least in the Anglophone world, who's willing to admit that they have not got a sense of humor or that they're not that funny.
Yeah. I mean, I've dated a lady who outright said, I don't have a sense of humor and I don't find jokes funny. I don't understand jokes, she said. And she wasn't ashamed about it. It's just like... Something about me you need to know. I don't like jokes. You know, like a German would say.
Yeah, or a tyrannical despot. It's quite like something Joffrey would say, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't like jokes, mother.
Do you remember that year in the Edinburgh Fringe where the guy who played Joffrey was at the Fringe and just wandering about seeing shows and hanging out?
Yeah,
and
man.
People were posting photos of them with Joffrey in like the artist bar and stuff. It was a wacky time.
I passed him a cigarette.
It was after he'd been killed. Did you?
Yeah. It was
just after he died as well in the show.
Yeah, he was finally free. Yeah. Everyone had watched him be poisoned to death and then he was just wandering about. Spoilers.
Yeah. Spoilers, the actor himself didn't actually die.
I also wasn't expecting his thick Northern Irish accent.
Yeah, so thick. A very thick brogue. Which accents can be described, are allowed to be described as a brogue?
I've always associated it with the Celtic ones.
Yes, I was just thinking that. It has to be Celtic. Would you say a Welsh brogue?
I guess, yeah.
It's Irish and Scottish, really.
Yeah, I'd accept Welsh, but I would expect a particularly... Oh, yes, here we are. Brogue is an informal term for a distinctive regional pronunciation, especially an Irish or sometimes Scottish accent.
Well, well, well. Haven't the boys nailed it again?
Haven't the boys gotten out their hammers and nailed it again? Oh, yes. Okay.
I love it when a plan comes together.
First use of the term brogue originated in the sort of 15th, 16th century to refer to an Irish accent by John Skelton.
Skelly!
Old Skelly. It could come from because brogues are like shoes, or it could come from the Irish word brogue, which means a hold on the tongue, or thus accent or speech impediment.
Yeah, I mean that seems more likely than the shoe thing. I don't know how you'd go from shoes to accents.
Well, brogues are traditionally like Highland and Irish shoes.
Hmm.
Like you wear brogues with your kilt, etc.
Oh, I see. I just don't know how that then goes to describing someone's accent as
old shoe face over there. Yeah, seems less. Seems
I guess
less
a shoe like. has a tongue. Is that it?
A shoe has a tongue, Phil. Or it should, and don't let anyone tell you any different.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you a shoe guy?
You
got some nice...
I'm starting to become more of a shoe guy, by which I mean I now buy more than one pair a year, i.e. maybe two pairs. And if I buy more than one pair of shoes a year, I start to feel like... slow down here. All right, Sarah Jessica Parker, calm down. If I buy two pairs, I'm like, come on. There's a Phil Kay joke, and he's even further down further along the spectrum than I am. He has a joke where he says he doesn't understand how people can go into a shoe shop to buy shoes wearing a pair of shoes.
Oh, yes. I mean, you and I are very similar in that regard, and that I can empathize with that. I'm the same. We like more than one new pair of shoes a year, and it's like, what? Are you planning some kind of party, or are you going to run a million miles?
But there is something fantastic about the feeling of new shoes, and I know this is hardly virgin ground, but there's something about getting in a fresh pair of shoes that fit you just right.
Yes, that is true.
Yum. This episode is brought to you by shoes.
This episode is brought to you by the concept of shoes.
It's kind of pathetic that we need shoes, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean...
Why do we need shoes?
Did you spend much of your childhood barefoot? I certainly did in South Africa.
Yeah, running around the house, the cool tile floors, and out in the wet grass. In the after... It's not the aftermath. Soaking up the... petrichor, that's it. The petrichor after a monsoon shower. But no, nowhere further than that, because then there's pebbles, there's bugs,
I guess it's,
there's stingers.
I guess it's different in a bit more jungly place, whereas it was very arid where we were, and you develop like over the whole summer these like hobbit feet. You just never wear socks for like months.
Wow, really?
Yeah, and you'd end up with these impenetrable hobbit feet that you could sort of walk over pebbles and stones much more easily because you didn't have the soft virgin soles of a...
I mean, I guess that's how we're supposed to be, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the original.
That's how they're supposed to be.
That's the OG way to walk around, Phil.
But why is... I don't understand the parts of the body and the features of the human body that sort of require that kind of... sort of wetting, I suppose. The constant use instead of maintaining them.
I guess, well...
Although it does apply to everything. Like, astronauts get muscle atrophy.
Yeah.
And if you don't use your bones, they do get weaker. No, you're right. No, I take that back.
Calluses on the hands, the body I was going to say.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I experienced that with guitar playing. When I picked up the guitar and learnt a bit, my hands... It was really, really difficult until my hands got callousy, and then suddenly I could play better. and then it stopped, and now they're soft as a prince's buttock. And I can't play anymore now.
Soft as a bourbon's limp handshake.
I mean, I told you when I went to get a pedicure at a Korean place in Melbourne, and the lady refused to pumice my feet because my skin was too soft, and she would draw blood.
Ooh.
She was like, she basically said, "Your life, I'm sorry, sir, your life has been too easy. I can't do this. There is no trauma for me to scrape off.
Your feet, they are, how you say, so weak and delicate that they would be wounded by a health spa treatment."
They would be wounded by something designed to help them. That's how soft they have become.
Like Mr. Burns. Like, if he got a massage, he'd just die. Wow. If I pumice these, you'll bleed. Good Lord. What's left to do then for your feet? I guess they just sort of breathe on them.
Yeah. Dry cleaned. They have to be dry cleaned.
Yes. Pressed.
They have to be put on a delicate wash, I guess, in the machine.
Hand dry. Drip dry feet. It's becoming fashionable again, Phil, to have a crease in your feet. It's been a while.
How was your week, though? Did we able to survive the rail strikes?
I think just about. I've mostly just been little Jimmy previews. If I've forgotten any, let me look back through the week. There's been that many. I did a gig in a car park with a dog. That was good.
Was the dog comparing?
The dog, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome.
I've worked with this next act a whole bunch of times. He's a good friend of mine. He's very funny.
He's a very,
you're going to love
him. He's a very good boy. The big audience of dogs, all like, you know, when they stand on their hind legs and try to clap, like their hands go together in that kind of praying thing. Give them a big round of applause. What would the dogs do? They'd howl, I guess, or just like bark their applause.
Yeah, they wag, just like.
Yeah.
Put your tails together.
Put your tails
together. For your first act. Bend above it.
Yeah. So that dog was emceeing. It was all very good. Mm-hmm. It was in a kind of artsy-fartsy kind of... it was at Ludo's. Anyone who lives near Wood Green in North London, I recommend figuring out if you can still go to Ludo's, L-U-D-O. It's that hipstery thing where it's like they make a little bit of waste ground, and then it's got some cool shops where you can trade clothes and also get something knit. And there's a bar, but it's on an old bus.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, very cool.
Oh, an old bus. I think I've been there, you know.
You might have done the gig.
Yes.
You might have
there's a gig there. Yes. I have done the gig there once.
Luckily for me, it was in the car parky bit that it's all in. No, and it wasn't on the bus as it was originally scheduled to be, because I do not fit on that bus. I cannot stand up straight on that bus.
Wow, really? That's literally the reason they had to put you outside.
I don't know. I hope... They didn't say that, but maybe they just thought, this guy's going to break his neck just standing with his head at 90 degrees.
I've done the gig on bus a couple of times, and it happens more often than you think, folks.
Yeah.
And I have to do the whole thing like Quasimodo, basically.
Yeah. I said to the audience, I was glad it wasn't on the bus, because I'd have to do the whole gig leaning forward with my hands on my knees like an excited dad. Like I was trying to G up a dog or a kid. Like, yeah, you're ready to go for that. And it's just quite a creepy vibe, I think, to hold that position for up to 10 minutes at a time. It's unsettling.
Yeah.
Where's the weirdest place you've ever done a gig, Phil?
Well, yesterday I did a gig in a field in Rugby, which I found out upon arrival was literally in the rugby school.
Oh, shit.
It was hosted in the field of rugby school, but like people from rugby town were also there.
Yeah.
But it was funny because it's the actual school where rugby, the sport, was invented.
Yes,
where,
the name rugby football. Yeah,
yeah, 200 years ago, whatever. Some, and I called him this on stage. Precocious little twat picked up a ball and ran with it. And I said it was rugby is a sport that could only have been invented by a public school boy. In any other case, any other kind of school, the other kids would have just beaten him to death. But because he's a public school boy, he just kept on with it. And I said it's very much the Boris Johnson playbook, where if you break the rules once, you're in trouble. But if you just keep breaking the rules, they just become the rules.
Yes, yeah. That's exactly
and
right.
That's all rugby is.
Yeah.
That's what rugby is.
Yeah, they just went... That's a big lesson from a lot of private schools, which is if you're going to break the rules and you do it creatively enough, we will let you get away with it.
Or if you just if you break the rules and refuse to admit wrongdoing,
yeah,
you know what? Fair play.
Yeah.
We will build an entire sport for you.
Yeah, we're going to name a sport after you. Oh, that was okay. Well, that's pretty good, I think.
But it's a good show, a really nice show, and there were a lot of the students there. And it's strange performing to 15 to 18 year olds.
Yeah,
it's very interesting.
So much stuff they just don't relate to or get yet.
Because they are so on the surface adults, but there's nothing like this one. I've got a big bit about buying furniture, and I just thought, man, I've changed. There's nothing here for these kids.
You just look into their eyes and you know that they, you're like someone doing a whole routine about mortgage rates to them. It's just so far from their experience.
I was given, before the show, we were given a little tour of the house. And it's such a beautiful school, the school. And everyone has their own study.
Oh.
And to study in.
Yeah.
And I said this on stage as well. The head of house at one point sort of said quite sort of seriously, it can be tough on the kids because the teachers here, the curriculum, is very demanding. And I got so excited. I was like, I wanted to start. I was like, a demanding curriculum, please. Yes, let me in. And I saw those blue Ryman folders with maths. Mr. Flebbergebel on them, whatever, and that got me so excited. Like tattered, fat folders,
full of
just
knowledge.
Got me excited.
Full of knowledge,
full
Phil.
Of knowledge, yeah.
Did you get all those that? Because that's something that is missing from comedy or from not all adult careers, but a lot is definitively doing well with a number on a task.
Yeah, I do miss that. I miss it terribly, and it's why in my adulthood, with all its complexities and nuances and difficult decisions, I love doing things like washing up, laundry,
yeah,
tidying, banking, because it's just definite tasks with definite answers and a definite end.
That's true. What I wish is that I got a series of tiny medals for doing laundry, like in a game. And I could somehow level up my laundry skills.
But gamification is so powerful. I've started, when I use Waze, the navigation app, to drive around, sometimes it'll say stopped car coming up in how many meters, and then when you approach it, an option comes up for you to tap and say that's still there or it's not there anymore, and I'll tap still there if it's still there, and you get this little blue gem.
Whoa.
Pops up,
really,
and a little plus two. I didn't even know what it's plus two of, but I'm so excited when I get the plus two.
Plus
and
two?
And then I'm plus two. Well, that's good, right?
And a gem?
Plus two blue? I like blue. And I like plus two. That felt good. And then if there's another stop coming, oh, it's still there. It's still there. Waze is still there. And I click and it's plus two. And I feel all giddy inside. Plus two. Oh, God, that's better than minus two. And it's better than nothing. I like plus two. It's pathetic. I'm pathetic. I'm a stupid little lizard.
All of our rat brains. That's what it is.
Yeah.
All I want is to do the laundry for the 10th time and for the noise to go bring, and then imagine.
My kingdom for a bring.
Yeah.
My kingdom for a little bring and a plus two.
I do the laundry, I get a plus two and a gem, and I can choose a laundry machine that has a sort of purple glow. Level two laundry machine unlocked.
Oh, God, it feels good.
Shall we gamify some correspondence?
Oh, yes. Plus two correspondence.
Alan! Oh, God. Ah, I can't help but notice, Alan, that you've, with your feet.
Yes.
Well, look at them. I mean, they're perfect. Pristine. I can see my face in the toenails.
Yes.
Well, I mean, how? All of our feet are bleeding, calloused, bloody stumps in some cases. And look at you, standing there like a god.
And your point is?
Well, how do you do it, Alan? What's your secret?
I'll never tell. What he doesn't know is that I'm wearing a brand new pair of shoes. Yes, shoes. Made from leather, meat, wood, bark, thick grasses, woven of course, bamboo, metal. Anything really that's harder than the average human foot. Make a little canoe shape. If a canoe only had, was facing one way, you don't need any back. I guess you could make a whole thing and you put your foot in it and walk on that and not on your foot. No more bloody stumps. Disclaimer, if you already have a pair of bloody stumps, adding a pair of shoes will not make your shoes, your feet regrow. You will still have a pair of bloody stumps. Shoes are available nationwide from Wednesday.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Tom gets in touch.
Tom, you're the bomb. I've probably done that before, but it's what you got.
Tom is the bomb.
You're the bomb, Tom.
Tom sort of bumped his message. Now I'm worrying that we've done Tom before. But we can't have, can we? Let me scroll down through the Patreon to make sure that I'm not insane. I don't think we have. Okay. Let's see. So Tom says, Puddle of Bod.
Puddle of Bod. I don't think I remember this.
Puddle of Bod. I don't think we've done that. A small tale I've been meaning to send you for some time. I hope it brings a small slice of levity to your day. Around 2 years ago, I started my current job. Working in an office for the first time, I slowly became used to knowing, whilst not actually knowing, my colleagues. It's true, it's a strange dynamic.
Yes, it is a strange dynamic. But an important one.
And
the country's built on it. The British Empire was built on those relationships.
I work in social care, and my office in particular, as I'm sure many in the field are, has a male-to-female worker ratio of 1 to 10.
Wow, that big. I mean, I knew it'd be female-heavy, but not that much.
Yeah, makes sense. I'm a male. Thank you, Tom. And with around 40 or so total people on our floor, I can safely say that I'm at least familiar with the anonymous gentleman whose life I saved this day.
Ah.
Hmm. High odds, yeah.
Wow. Life I saved. This is intriguing.
So there's a 1 in 4 or 1 in 3 chance he knows who the guy is.
Wait, say that again. I've lost track of that.
So the ratio is 1 to 10, and there's about 40 people on the floor.
Yeah. Oh, right. So there's four fellas.
Yeah, and he's one of them, so it's probably 1 in 3, I guess.
Okay.
So he says, around 2 months into my job, I went to the bathroom to sit smugly in the comfort that I was getting paid to void my bowels.
That's a lovely feeling.
Yeah.
They pay me to shit here. I do the accounting for free. They pay me to shit.
Any work I get done is a bonus as far as they're concerned. I entered. Do you think people who do get paid to shit by fetishists are like, always do your taxes while you're shitting. Then they're paying you to do your taxes. I entered the first of the two cubicles in the bathroom, and prior to making myself comfortable, I checked the dispenser for loo roll. For you see, this is not my first pudio.
Nice.
Very good. There was no loo roll, and so I sauntered into the neighbouring cubicle.
Crisis averted.
Crisis averted. Plus two.
Plus two. Bring.
After a few minutes of sitting peacefully, another one of the four men, I got it, of the floor, entered the bathroom and proceeded into the first cubicle.
Mm.
Yes. He then made himself comfortable. I'm not sure... I'm not sure when it was that the song Hero by Chad Kroeger from Sam Raimi's first Spider-Man started playing in my head, but the chorus came around quickly.
Oh, fuck! I remember that song. And they say that a hero can save us. Not gonna stand here and wait.
So that's in his head.
Oh, God, I can't believe I remember this song.
Yeah, good work.
I hold on to the wings of the eagle.
Oh, yeah.
Watching me fly away. Wow, how many times did I hear that song in 2000, whenever the fuck, that I can still remember the tune and lyrics now? A man with famously bad memory.
Yeah, wow, it really bedded
in. Oh, they play that song so much, yeah.
And it's in the...
Good flashback. Oh, that's a fun...
There you go.
Flashback.
Nice little taste of the past there. And also, I've always fun any song in that kind of slightly Metallica voice.
Yes. Yeah.
Very noughties pop punk and sort of pop, like pop metal.
Creed. Do you remember Creed?
Yes.
What would it... Please come love, I think I'm falling, I'm holding on to all I think is safe. I didn't realize at the time they were a Christian band.
Yeah, sneaky, the word creed, like that.
Yeah, the whole song is about Jesus.
Yeah.
I felt a bit cheated, but it's a lovely song.
It's a shame, because I think the only reason we feel cheated is because we just get told how great Jesus is so much growing up, that you just go, I know. Whereas when it's used to refer to Spider-Man, yeah, well, there we go. A new hero.
I don't think Creed ever did a song for Spider-Man, but it would be lovely if they did. It'd
be very funny to do a sort of Christian Spider-Man where he is still Spider-Man, but it's thanks to some sort of blessing or...
Yeah. It's like they praise Spider-Man, but at the same time warn the listeners not so much as to make him a false idol.
Yeah. Spider-Man is only Spider-Man.
Beware the false idols. He's powerful, but he's not God.
Spider-Man, Spider-Man, godlike power, but he's a man.
Casts a web. Anytime, but just remember he's not divine. He is. He's still but a man.
That's great. That's Thank great. You. Christian.
A Christian superhero thing.
Christian Spider-Man. I realize that we're quite far into the pod and we haven't pointed out the fact that America is now being run by Christian Spider-Man and they've banned abortion.
Oh, fuck, yeah.
Big news.
Oh, yeah, we haven't... Yeah, gosh.
Sorry to interrupt your email, Tom, but that's, just a short sidebar to say that's fucking insane and terrifying.
It's mad. And it's like, God, it's... Yeah, how are we going backwards like this?
Yeah, very, very Taliban vibes coming from the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
No, good. Well... Well, back to Tom's hero moment.
There might be something spicy enough for the bonus pod.
Yes, that's true. In the VIP area, we'll get into it. But so Tom, right? Tom's got your hero that's playing in his head, right?
Yeah.
I heard a scratching of fingernails in the metal loo roll dispenser, and I knew my time had come.
Yeah.
I proceeded to take loo roll from my own well-stocked supply and send it over the adjoining cubicle wall.
like a friendly ghost floating over, like Casper's coming down.
Yeah, spiraling down. And I decided to send it over the adjoining cubicle wall, raining down upon my friend like a gift from heaven itself. Haha, cheers, mate, came the relieved voice from his stall.
Haha, cheers, mate. A clearly very relieved, but still residually nervous. Haha.
Haha, oh, cheers, mate, came the relieved voice from his stall. I said nothing. which is funny. I said nothing. My inner voice, however, spoke very loudly, and it said, "Keep going. Just keep giving him loo roll." And so through small yelps of, thanks, mate, that's enough, cheers, I'm good, yep, cheers, Lee, I'm fine now.
You want loo roll? I'll give you loo roll. That's a funny character.
Give you all the loo roll in the world. So he's going, cheers, yep, fine, thanks. He says, I continued to let fly gentle birds with two ply wings without making a hoot. So these are individual... These aren't a roll.
Right, so he's dealing them like cards.
He's going like... Whoosh, whoosh,
whoosh, whoosh. Yeah. So, yes, he's making it rain.
Yeah. I like that. I continue to let fly gentle birds with two-ply wings without making a hoot.
That's nice. It's a nice sentence.
The image of a man being shocked, then scared, then relieved, then utterly confused as he wipes in a hailstorm of loo roll... provides me with great joy. The gentleman exited the bathroom before I left my cubicle, and thus I now joyously live in the knowledge that whenever I speak to a male colleague, there is a high possibility that I have showered him in toilet paper. And as he looks at me, knowing there is also at least a 1 in 3 chance that I was his savior or tormentor on the fateful day.
That's fun. See, people say that men don't look out for each other the way women look out for each other, but it's not true.
It's not true.
Sometimes we will silently shower another with toilet paper in the time of need.
All the best. Keep on keeping on and keep jacking it or don't. I'm not your boss. From Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Tom, for the story about your bum.
Thanks, Tom, for your note about your bum. Let's see.
Yeah, do we have another quick A?
This one is a bit of a big A. Let me see. Ooh, this is the thing, is that we've got such... Oh, here we go. A quickie, if you remember a while back, we were discussing the horror of Bacon White.
Oh, yeah, yuck. The horrible little white globules that appear when you cook bacon. Yeah.
Yes. So Joe gets in touch.
Let's go. Let's keep on with the flow.
Right. Yeah.
Joe with the flow.
So Joe says, "Hey, Pud Buds, or Pud Buds with a U."
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Pud Buds.
Like wheat puddings.
Yeah. "You only get bacon white from bacon that's been water cured, basically filled out with water."
Ugh.
Yeah.
Why have they done that?
I think it keeps for longer, and also it makes it like way more, so that's where you get like with added water or without added water on the back of bacon.
Hmm.
And that's why bacon shrinks if it's not the fancy bacon.
I see.
Yeah.
So it's a way of making you pay more for less bacon, is that right?
Right. That's exactly it.
Why I order.
Yes, basically filled out with water. The water comes out of the bacon when it cooks, and some mixes with the water. Somewhat. Some fat, maybe? I don't know. To create a smegmine emulsion.
Smegmine is good. That's a perfect word.
What a great word. Horrible.
Smegmine emulsion.
Yeah. That's a... Smegmine emulsion's got to be the name of some kind of horrifying black metal band.
Yeah, I was just thinking it's a good band name. Or even like for like backing singers, Phil Wang and the Smegmine Emulsions.
Yeah. And they're all wearing white. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Phil Wang and a Smegmine Emulsion. Boop.
Bacon white. Oh, I love you so, bacon white. You know that moment in those old recordings when the audience cottons on that that's a song they know?
Yes.
Like bacon white. And then it dies down a bit. I love you so, bacon white.
And it's Phil Wang and his Smegmine Emulsion - bacon white - live at Las Vegas 1967 close brackets
remastered
1998 bacon white So he says, yes, it creates a smegmine emulsion. If you go to the butcher's and get fancy bacon, you won't have that.
Ah. Mm.
And he finishes with, not very funny, but now you know. Koji.
That is good knowledge.
It's good shit. Thanks, Joe. I had noticed on the rare occasions where I treat myself to a taste the difference bacon, par exemple, or finest.
Mm.
Very little bacon white and very little shrinkage.
Yes. And they look more sort of like a, what's a thin Italian ham? Like, is it pancetta? It's not pancetta. Parma. They look a bit more like just thin, dried, a bit darker. Right?
Yes. There's some
darker meat
substance to them. Well, now it's time to scrape off your bacon white and get into the VIP area, Phil.
Yes, where we will be tackling topics a little too spicy.
Yeah.
For the general free episode. So if you want to listen in on these spicy peppery conversations,
mm-hmm.
do join our Patreon to get access to all the bonus pods, which are fun.
They're good.
I promise. They're good stuff. I like them. I think they're very good.
The listeners had a little taste of them last week.
That's right. Yes, while I was in the woods,
a little sippy sip
with a long beard, scrabbling through the brush.
Digging up Krugerrands.
Yeah, eating slugs and worms and being glad of it.
Well, there's none of that in the VIP, so let's go there. And thank you for listening, guys. Thank you for coming to all the previews. If you want to come to any other previews, I've posted them on a picture of my face on my Instagram.
Yes, London. This week I'm headlining a show at the excellent Moth Club on Thursday in... in Hackney, and then on Saturday I'm doing a preview of my show at the ARG Comedy Festival in Shoreditch.
Lovely.
So look that up, ARG comedy festival.
I'll be at ARG on Sunday night. But it's all
fabulous
gravy, baby.
It's a really, really brilliant 2-day comedy festival in London. Highly recommended, and it's back for first time in like 2 years, which is nice.
Yeah.
So do come along.
Yeah. Let's do it. Okay. Bye.
All right. Bye bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.